Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to continue the Sermon on the Mount, but we're going to back up and lay a foundation this morning. A very important principle as we continue to talk about Jesus' teaching. We went back and talked about the preciousness of life about 3 weeks ago, and we're going to put an underlying principle, foundation under Jesus' teaching about adultery. And we even want to talk about God's design, because I think it is important as we go forward. Because continually in our discussion today, we talk about how as we as a society advance, as we grow, that norms of the past are no longer applicable to us because we've actually matured as a people beyond that. So I want us to look at that, and that's going to be the basis of our message. Won't be a long message today, but will be important. Just because it's not lengthy doesn't mean it's important, because this is foundational for us. A concept that is not new, certainly has gained popularity in the last 30 years, at least in our discussion, is continual improvement. In manufacturing, we talk about continuing improvement, continual improvement. Really, hopefully in our lives, we're working to continually to improve. To improve our systems, to improve the way we do things. We're continually lurking to advance things and make them better. And we are able to improve lots of things. Things are better in lots of ways than they used to be. We can do things more efficiently. We can do them faster. That device that you've got on your belt or in your purse or on your pocket is just one of the signs of things that are different. Because we used to have to go to the wall, didn't we? And pick up the phone and talk. Used to, you had to go to the store and use the phone. And prior to that, you just had to go see somebody or send them mail. I can remember years ago, almost nobody writes letters now. I do get some occasional joy. But I can remember at the beauty shop when all the ladies would have their hair dry, and some were reading and some were writing letters while they had time to do that. You don't see much sitting under the dryer. You don't see much writing letters. But we used to have to get up. If the phone rang, we'd have to run to wherever the phone was and answer. And then we got a great advancement, which was the cordless phone, right? Where we still had to be at home, but you could at least walk around the house with it. And now, what do we have? We've got the phones. Mine's in my pocket. You've probably got yours, where we can talk to each other almost all the time. And now we can search the web. We can do all kinds of things. Those things are advancing. Why? Because we're learning more. We're making them smaller. We all know, and when we watch an old movie, when I say an old movie, it doesn't seem like an old movie to me, a movie that was around when I was in school or soon thereafter, and folks had a phone. It was attached to a bag in their car, right, with big antennas, or it was big as a brick. And now we don't have all that. Our technology is improving. And so we can do things better, faster, lots more information. Now, whether that's helped us or not, it's debatable, and that's not going to be the topic of our discussion. But we don't know where the technology will carry us in the days that are ahead. We know things will just be different than they are today. Why is that? Because we're continually improving. We're building on technology. Competition drives us forward. But the main reason for that is our knowledge is incomplete. So as we see a need and we learn one thing, it moves us, it drives us to learn something else, and we implement that. Where would we be if we knew everything? If we knew everything, we'd have cut out all this stuff in the middle, right, and just go to whatever's best, whatever that is. If we knew everything, we know what the best was, right? And we would just go immediately there, right? How many of you now want to go back to an old brick phone, even if you could find one? And I bet they're around. Anybody want to go back to that and say, I really like that one? And some of you don't want the phone at all. I got that. But if you decided to go with a cellular technology, a mobile phone technology, you wouldn't go back to the brick, or you wouldn't go back to the big antenna in the car, although it was a great advancement at the time. And why you would do that, if I'm going, I'm going to go something that at least is smaller and more convenient. The reason we went through those phases is because our knowledge was imperfect. And so we're advancing, we're learning as we go. We're continually improving. Is God continually improving? Now think about that. Is God continually improving? I got some looks. I got some head nods this way. I got some head nods this way. I got some of you, I think, no, but you're afraid to nod. No. No. No is the answer. God is not continually improving. Why? Because God likes it the way He is, and He's the boss, and He can sit there. No, that's not the right answer. But we all know people that are that way, right? The reason God is not continually improving is He is perfect in His knowledge from the beginning. Really, since before the beginning, because God is not only imperfect in His knowledge, He's eternal. He's never begun. I'm not going to blow your mind, Josh. Just hang with me. Don't go there. It's all right, brother. But think about this. God has perfect knowledge. God has perfect knowledge. So He's not continually improving because He has already, from our standpoint, from the design and the creation of the world, God made everything perfect. There's no reason to improve it because the designer already made it perfect. Now, have we advanced in ways as people? Absolutely. I understand that. I understand that things are different than they were 100 years ago. They're different than they were 1,000 years ago. They're different than they were 10,000 years ago. But the way the world operates, when God designed it, He made it all work the way He wanted it to work, right? In fact, when God created it, He said, "This is very good." Don't ever forget that. This is very good. And it's only when sin came was it not very good. The struggles that we have to try to overcome, have only come around because man sinned. God designed perfectly. That's important for us to remember, because the way God created us, designed us, and has instructed us is perfect. There's no way to improve it because God knows everything. Now, the reason I say that is really important, because what Jesus is teaching us in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, is not a new teaching. It's not a developed teaching. It's based on God's design from the very beginning. And it's still applicable. Let's read from Matthew 19 together, because Jesus is going to make reference. It's a passage that you're familiar with, but Jesus is going to make reference back to where I like to go often, all the way back to the garden. And Jesus said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." So as Jesus talks about the relationship between a man and a woman, He's going back to say, the reason things are the way they are is not because this is the social norm, not what man has designed, but this is the way the Creator made us. Let's go back and read from Genesis chapter 2. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, He took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of man, and He brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." For this reason, and this is what Jesus quotes, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. From the beginning, God created Adam and Eve and the marital relationship, and Eve was there to complete Adam. There was nothing else in the creation that God had made that was a helper for Adam, that made Adam complete, and so God creates Eve specifically. This union is specifically created by God as a prototype, as a trial, as a beta test. This is important. This really is. I don't make fun. It's important for us to grasp this. This is not the alpha test or the beta test. This is a perfect creator with perfect knowledge. This is important. Perfect creator with perfect knowledge saying, I am going to design the perfect system. And so God creates Adam and Eve, creates man in his own image to be joined together to become one flesh in the union of marriage. Now, let's answer a question. Let's delve into a question. Are all marriages perfect? This is an important question. I'm going to ask even a different question. Are any marriages perfect? I'm going to tell you something. You weren't sure whether God was constantly improving, but everybody knows, has an opinion on whether all marriages perfect. Different response. Are any marriages perfect? No. I'll give you the answer. No. Why? This is a good one. This is a good question. Because I said it was designed by a perfect creator, right? A perfect creator. This was not a test. It's not saying, let's try this until we can come up with something better. That was the perfect design from the beginning. The reason is that Adam and Eve sinned. Man is sinned and all of us are sinners. We're in a world that's under a curse. And so part of that struggle is in the relationships we have as husbands and wives. And the Lord speaks to that in Genesis 3. It doesn't mean that that system is flawed. It means that you and I are flawed and are sinners. And that Satan tempts us, and part of that is in our relationships. Do we give up on it? No. It's still the perfect design. The reason I really kind of like to talk about that is because sometimes we look back, and if we're struggling in our lives, whether it be our marriages or our jobs or our health or whatever it might be we're struggling at, and when we look around, we think, well, I'm the only one that's really struggling, and everybody else is just doing great. And it's just easy. It's easy for everybody else. Their work is easy. You know, they don't have any problems at work. Their children go to sleep when they tell them to, and they wake up refreshed in the morning, and they do great schoolwork. They're all really intelligent, and their health's all really great. And you know, everything where they got self-cleaning homes. Everything is always just in place. We laugh at that, but sometimes in our own lives, we look around and think it's everybody else's flows easier than mine. And what we need to understand is there is struggle because we're in a fallen world, but the design from the perfect designer is true. And so what Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to keep reminding us of this, is this is how God's people live. This is what the kingdom is like. This is what the kingdom of God's like. Not pie in the sky off in the future. But this is how God's people live. Jesus has said, the kingdom is passing by. You have an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom, to join the kingdom, and this is how kingdom people live. By God's perfect design. All of us are sinners. But God's design is true. We can't improve upon God's design because the all-knowing Creator made us. So as we continue to look at this teaching about our marriages, and we'll look at that even more, about adultery. As we looked at murder, Jesus is saying, not only do you not murder, you don't become angry. People of the kingdom, this is how they live. Not only do they not kill each other, but they avoid anger that brings about malice that leads to murder and to hatred and to those things. And Jesus is going to say, not only do people of the kingdom not commit adultery, but they don't in their minds and in their hearts harbor those things that lead to impure thoughts. And we'll talk about that in greater detail. Because why? God designed us perfectly. And He designed a relationship that works. And He calls us to live by His design and by His ways. Why? Because that is the perfect design, and God wants what's best for us. It doesn't change because it is the best. Anything else we do is going to be what? It's important. Less than the best, right? Less than the best. We're not going to improve on what the all-knowing God knows. And so God's people, people of the kingdom, follow God and His teachings. Follow God and His teachings. It's important because we continually are challenged in our society that these things are old and out of date and ancient. That becomes an argument. These things are ancient. And I'm going to tell you they are ancient. That's true. But they are perfect. They are perfect and are not. We're not able to improve upon them. Any change from that is to move backwards, to go away from what is best. God has designed what is best from the very beginning. That's why Jesus, facing another issue, goes back and quotes from Genesis, quotes from the garden, saying, that's why things are the way they are, because the Creator made it this way. We're not about just religion. When I say it's not just about this is a code by which we live, this is a religion that we follow. We're about following the Creator, the Almighty God, who came in the flesh as Jesus and who gave His life as a sacrifice for us. We are following the true and the living God. And we go back to say, what does God, who is the Creator, what is His design and plan for us? What does He call us to? Because He's not the God of this aspect of our life. He's not the God of that aspect of our life. He's not the God of the sun or the God of the river, the God of fertility or any of those things. But He is the God who is over what? Everything. Because He made it all. He is the true and living God. And we follow Him in all truth. Because the teachings of God are truth. And as John will tell us, when we know the truth sets us free. Because the truth doesn't change. It's not based on understanding. It's not what's true today. It is what is eternally true. Jesus came because all of us are sinners. That's the truth. All of us are sinners. And Jesus, who was without sin, paid the price for our sin. That because we are imperfect, Jesus came that we might be justified, that we might be sanctified, that we might be cleansed, and that we might be able then to live with God in eternity because we have been washed in the blood of His Son. But even though we're imperfect, we still strive to do what? To follow the teachings of God. It's important to live as people of the kingdom have been called because it's a decision we get to make. It's a decision you and I get to make. God doesn't force us to be obedient, but He offered His Son as a sacrifice and He has made Him Lord and King. And so the decision we make is, are we going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? And are we going to follow and walk in His ways? If that's the decision you want to make today, why don't you come while we stand and sing?